racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
A big welcome to the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Hi, I'm Bob Bupka. So proud to be here with Jay Randolph Jr. He's better known, though, as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Can you believe it, Jay? The attendance figures for the 2018 Waste Management Phoenix Open, 719,179 fans passed through the gate, and I guarantee you at least 100 of them saw some golf.
Well, I can hear the excitement of kind of what's taking place in our game in your voice and my voice and other people I talk to. We're going to give some numbers in a little bit about a great January that television had with golf. You know, Bob, there were, you know, whether, you know, 40,000 of them saw a shot or not, you know, on Saturday, 216,000 and change to a golf tournament. And while it's an event and it's a party and a lot of them could care less about a five iron or a wedge, they're still involved with our game, and it's a destination. I had probably seven people from St. Louis that I know that went out there, that were putting the pictures on Facebook and Twitter. It's become one of those things like the Indy 500 or the Kentucky Derby that people want to do at least once.
That's a good point, Jay. And I think for our listeners, let me put it into perspective. 216,000 people on Saturday at the Masters, and everybody knows about the Masters. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 4 days, total attendance will be 100,000 people. But, you know, that's the way they want to keep it. It's been 100,000 for quite a while, but 216,000 for one day out in Phoenix, just crazy, and couldn't be happier. The excitement's coming back into the sport of golf, and you alluded to it a little bit. Enlighten our listeners what the Golf Channel had to say about the month of January.
Yeah, banner month. I mean, their salespeople are out making calls as we speak. They averaged 116,000 viewers per minute of their coverage of the PGA Tour in January. And, Bob, that's 23% over last January, and it's even 10% over their best January, which was in 2013. And I think there's a lot of reasons why. I'll be curious to get your take. Certainly, Tiger coming back and the added excitement at the Farmers Insurance. We've got these young guys that are being successful. Name players playing in starts that maybe we didn't. You and Janice were out in Hawaii and kind of talked about that renewed interest in that event. And we've had playoffs. So I'd be curious to get your thoughts. But we've got a lot of things starting to collide that are getting our game a lot of attention and drawing a lot of eyes.
Well, you and I, Jay, certainly as the end of 2017 came upon us on the Grill Room, we kept saying that 2018 had the potential to maybe be one of the greatest, if not greatest, year in the history of golf. Now, of course, certainly that hasn't happened yet, but we have a solid footing for the month of January. And, you know, and you say that there's a lot of great young talent out there, but I think, Jay, that it's the caliber of the talent, the personality of the players, not only what they're doing on the golf course, but what they represent to youngsters and off the golf course. Their actions are just top shelf. I mean, there is not a sport, and you've covered them all, and you know, you and your dad certainly deeply rooted into just about every major sport there is. There isn't a sport that wouldn't trade the profile that we have in golf for their sport.
No, you're right. And I think there's a couple of things. You and I both remember the cookie cutter type golfers we were starting to see, you know, all about 5'9", 5'10", you know, just kind of practice, make putts, you know, that led into the you know, late 80s and 90s. And there weren't, you know, we also had some Europeans come in like Faldo and woos them. And then everything changed with Tiger. And all of these kids we're seeing now are Tiger babies, if you will, and played this game and played it with a different mindset. And I think you're right, Bob. The caliber of talent, the shots we're seeing, the scoring, and while you and I get frustrated sometimes, you know, at some of the old golf courses that can't, you know, hold up the way they used to, I think, you know, a lot of people like to see birdies and eagles.
Yeah, no, that's the area that, you know, I constantly fight. I love it when it's a great test. Sure. You know, I love par. But, you know, certainly that is not the modern day way of thinking. I mean, it is all about birdies and eagles. Eagles, wow, an eagle landed on Sunday, that's for sure. What a Super Bowl. We can't go without at least talking about that for a second. Whew. The Philadelphia Eagles deserve all the credit in the world going against Bill Belichick and the, you know, New England Patriots and, you know, Tom Brady. And what an incredible game. And I'll tell you one thing. It certainly was a great sight prior to the start of that game. Not anybody kneeling down. Everybody standing for our national anthem. And the NFL, even though their attendance, their viewership, I should say, was way down for the game, they needed that, and they got exactly what they needed. That game was entertaining.
Well, I hope to tell you. I mean, the other thing that, you know, we've become so accustomed to, which slows down games, and you know, this is the Super Bowl. It takes 4 hours to play. But, you know, there was hardly a penalty. And there was there was only one punt. I mean, it had everything. And you know, you're thinking that legacy for Brady, here we go again. I mean, you know, we're going to go march down and there we go and the parade's going to happen. But the Eagles stepped up and it was fantastic. We've been very fortunate last couple of years with some pretty darn good Super Bowls.
Yeah, and the one stat that blows me away, we're going to get right back to golf. Twice as many passes to quarterbacks as there were punts, as you just said. I mean, one incomplete to Brady, one that'll go down in history to Nick Foles and what they did on the goal line, fourth and goal, incredible.
Bob, did you have that prop bet?
Yeah, twice as many passes to quarterbacks as punts. All right, let's get back to Gary Woodland. That was his third win on the PGA Tour. And, you know, I got to be honest. When we've been talking for the last few months and stuff about you know, the potential and all the great players out there, I know I have been remiss in leaving the name Gary Woodland out. But I remember talking to Butch Harmon, who's his coach, and Butch telling me right to my face, Bob, this guy is the real deal. Now, you know, he had some personal problems, and you know, and not out of, you know, they weren't under his control. I mean, sure. I'm talking about medical situations with his wife and a pregnancy and stuff, and really not being much of a putter over the last couple of years. But this kid can flat out hit the ball. I call him a kid. He's 33 years old, but he's a good guy. He played basketball in college. Tells you what kind of athlete he is. But it's his first win in 4 years. And I just believe that when we start talking about, you know, guys that could have a gangbuster year, shame on us if we leave the name, you know, Gary Woodland out. And this is what he had to say after his win.
I couldn't wait for 2018 to start. Couldn't wait for 17 to be over with. And then really, I came out at Sony and played well at Sony, played well last week in Torrey, and it's just been coming. For the last couple of years, I've put 3 rounds together. I just haven't played a tournament in 5 years where I've put 4 rounds together. And it's been a lot about winning. You know, expectations are up, and, you know, results, you know, the world we live in is a result-oriented, you know, world, and you don't get anything unless you have results. And Butch sent me a text Thursday morning before I played and said, forget about everything else. Let's just put four rounds together. Don't worry about what you shoot. Don't worry about winning. Just put four good rounds together. And, you know, I don't know if that put me at ease or what, but I definitely put four good rounds together this week.
All right, I'm going to send you a text right now, Jay. Don't worry about anything. Let's just have a good show and talk about Gary Woodland.
Well, you know, it's that old adage that my old golf pro Phil Hewitt used to tell me. I'd say, Phil, I can't seem to win. He said, son, just keep playing, and someday they'll come up and pat you on the back and give you a trophy. And I think that's what Butch was saying. Go play golf. Gary Woodland, as you said, Bob, a power player, and somebody not to be discounted. And that's what we've talked about on and on. Heck, the guy that you know, he beat in the playoff, Reavy's a hell of a stick. And that's the thing. We got to Sunday, and we get all excited because you got Ricky, and you got Rom, and you got some of the young guns. But don't for a moment sell short. It's our whole premise now that anybody in the field can just about win.
Yeah, we were tantalized a little bit by the prospects. Maybe Phil Mickelson making a movie, began the day two shots behind. But those two guys that, as you just said, Jay, Woodland and Reavy in that playoff, two very, very solid players. And, you know, let's put some insight into what it is to get on the PGA Tour from Gary Woodland.
I probably got out here too soon. I mean, I came to the game late, but I got through Q school very quickly. Fortunately, I got hurt my rookie year in 2009, and I missed a year, which really allowed me to kind of adjust and adapt to being out here. I came from college. I played a year of basketball 4 years at Kansas, and then really got out here right away, and it was an adjustment because my game wasn't ready. I was just athletic. And I won right away in 2011, so expectations got high and didn't play great, got hurt again in 2012 and battled injuries for a while. So last 3 years I've been healthy. I haven't put four rounds together, so that's been frustrating. When you win early on, you want that feeling. I want this week in, week out. And I've put myself in a lot of positions to win. I have a lot of second-place finishes the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. I just haven't done it, and that adds up. That adds a lot of pressure. I have a lot of people around me, which is a good thing, but, you know, everybody expects you to play well, and when you don't have the results, that's tough. So this validates that we're doing the right things, and, you know, I believe I have a long way to go, but I believe I have a lot of time to do that, and I'm excited about what the future holds.
You know, Jay, he's somebody that we have four majors this year. I wouldn't be comfortable saying that Gary Woodland's not going to win one of those majors.
He could. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's got the type of game because of his power. And as you said, Bob, earlier, the putting has always kind of been the problem. If he has a good putting week, he can win anywhere. He's that good. And I really appreciated the fact that he said, you know, I may have made it out here too quick. You can almost hear him say, maybe I needed a couple of years on the web.com tour. And, you know, I want to mention real quick, my buddy Scott Langley, who played the tour for a couple of years, got out there very early after he went to the University of Illinois, lost his card, he's had some bumps in the road. He just won on the web.com tour. I hope in a couple of years we'll be playing a cut from Scott Langley saying, hey, maybe I made it too early and it took some seasoning. So congratulations to Scott on his win out on the web.com tour, and good stuff by Gary Woodland.
Yeah, job well done there, Scott. Some guys that came really close, certainly Phil Mickelson, a couple of sloppy mistakes on Sunday. He could have been there. Kind of funny, Phil's 47, played the game since, 200 BC, I think. And he's saying that, you know, if he could just get straighten out his driver. I mean, come on, Phil. matter of fact, you don't even need to drive it well. He's such a short game magician. But You know, sometimes you have to allow yourself to think what it would be like if Phil did drive the ball long and straight. I mean, obviously, he'd be unbeatable.
Well, and what's good is, you know, again, Phil's at the tail end of his career. And as you and I have talked about here on the show, you know, in a sense, everything he does is focused in on 1 week and that potential to get the career slam. However, you know, he's still got to go out and play well, and that's what he's done, and he did it this past week. And like you said, a couple of mistakes, and you know that's probably about seasoning, and he's going to play this week. So it's just good to still have Phil Mickelson in the mix.
Yeah, you talk about this week, and of course, the move is to Pebble Beach, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, where several years ago I had the pleasure of spending some time with Catherine Crosby. She was wearing that green fedora that Bing Crosby was his trademark, and she let me put it on, and I tried singing, and it didn't work. I gave her the hat back, but it was a thrill to have Bing Crosby's hat on. Look at that field they have out there, Jay. Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, last week's winner, Gary Woodland. You already mentioned Paul Casey, but some international stars also.
Yeah, Ernie Els is going to play. Padraig Harrington is going to be there. You got some veterans who, you know, a guy like Peter Jacobson, who fits the Pro-Am format so well. And we remember all those years he played with his buddy Jack Lemmon. Patrick Reed, don't sleep on him with that distance. Graham McDowell, another international player who, of course, won the U.S. Open at Pebble. And guess who's coming off the TV set onto the golf course? David Duval. Playing at the Pebble.
Well, you mentioned Jack Lemmon, Jay. You know, but there's so many celebrities that are going to be playing this year. It's going to be fun to watch.
Well, and as you said, it's something these celebrities yearn for. I was surprised to learn Brett Baer, who's a Fox anchor. I didn't know this. He captains his college golf team at DePauw in Indiana. He's going to be playing, I think, in his first. Carson Daly, the NBC host, is going to be there. Larry Fitzgerald, the Cardinals wide receiver, the great one. Wayne Gretzky with his future, with his son-in-law is going to be there. I believe Kelly Rohrbach is going to be there. Ray Romano will be there. Darius Rucker from Hootie and the Blowfish. So it should be, as always, kind of a fun thing to watch these celebrities. Some of them that can play, some of them that can't play. Larry the Cable Guy is also going to be there. I think he's going to be paired fittingly with Boo Weekly.
And everybody will be watching their set saying, which one's the cable guy?
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, Boo Weekly, one of the nice guys out there. I've had a good friendship with Boo for quite a while and really enjoy it. And I got some inside scoop on the weather. Temperature's going to be near 80 all week long. No inclement weather. And you have to be honest, there's probably no prettier place to play golf than Pebble Beach when the weather is ideal.
Bob, another little side note before we take our pause. Rory McIlroy's Dubai duty-free Irish Open is now going to start rotating the tournament host duties. Rory won it once, but he hasn't made the cut four of the last 5 years. Maybe he wants to, you know, maybe it's been a jinx since he's been the tournament host, but what they're going to do is spread the hosting duties with a different guy each year. And when you got all that talent in Ireland, why wouldn't you? You got Paul McGinley, Darren Clark, Padraig Harrington, and Graham McDowell. I love the Emerald Isle. I know you love it too. It's a fantastic place.
Yeah, it's one of the great places in the world to go play golf, and I certainly agree with you. Those names will make a wonderful host when it's their turn.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Talk Sport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play the Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected. Nice ad for Alexa in the Super Bowl. When we return, it'll be time to groove up with Vertical Groove Golf. Stay with us. We've got some exciting news about the new Vertical Groove 3-Wood.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room, where the tab is on us. He's Jay Randolph Jr. I'm Bob Bupgren. Guess what? Time to groove up with the Vertical Groove Golf. Yes, we said exciting news, and we meant just that. The Vertical Groove 3-Wood is now shipping. They are no longer in the pre-order stage. They are in you order it, and we'll ship it stage. And boy, is that great news, Jay. I mean, that 3-Wood, I saw it, I felt it, I tested it down at the PGA Merchandise Show. This thing is on fire.
I'm fired up because those par fives know I'm coming, because I got my Vertical Groove driver to put me in the fairway and my Vertical Groove 3-Wood to get there. I can't wait to get my hands on it and use it out at Normandy. Again, this was the weirdest thing. I told you before we started this week's show that we were putting in new phone lines at the golf course. Yesterday, guy comes up from Sykeston, Missouri, from the company, from the phone company that we're using. And he's looking through the back office trying to find stuff to put, you know, the phone lines in. And he comes out of the back and he says, "Where'd you get the Vertical Groove driver?" I said, have you heard about it? And he said, "I got a friend of mine that's got one at the club that I play at. And it's unbelievable." I said, "Well, there you go." I said, "Let me tell you more about Vertical Groove." So it was really funny. Got the validation from a guy from Sykeston, Missouri. It is the right club for you. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that story is starting to spread and spread. There's more angry three guys in foursomes all around the country, because only one currently has that Vertical Groove driver. Pretty soon, all four will be playing it. By the way, the PGA Tour champions, they start their campaign this week at the 12th Boca Raton Championship, being played at the old course at Broken Sound in Florida. And it's the first event that the new Vertical Groove 3-Wood will be in play. John Daly, Rocco Mediate, they both plan to use it, and they're being custom fitted for their 3-Wood now. In fact, let's listen quickly to John Daly, Jay, as he talks about the new Vertical Groove 3-Wood.
The 3-Wood just came out, and I can't wait. I'll be able to hit it in Boca. And, you know, it's just a smaller head 3-Wood, easy to get in the air. And, you know, these vertical grooves, being the way they are, it just makes you hit it a lot further and a lot straighter. I mean, it's a simple combination of when you get vertical grooves and you know you're not going to spin the ball, can't stress enough how much straighter you hit it.
That's music to your ears, Jay.
No question. That's exactly what you're looking for in what John Daly's talking about. And, you know, they're continuing to make great inroads, Bob, out on the PGA Tour champions.
Yeah, they really are. A lot of guys looking at it, getting fitted, testing. Why wouldn't they? They watch Kenny Perry, who didn't get a penny to play the driver last year, win the 2017 U.S. Senior Open using that Vertical Groove driver. And he put it best, as only somebody from Kentucky would. He said it took the curve out of his driver. I know Gibby Gilbert, Steve Pate, Doug Gallwood. And listen to this, Jay, Vertical Groove, currently working with Mike Geddes, Joe Durant, Wes Short, Gene Sowers, and more. trying to get them fit properly and get that club dialed in for the tour caliber professionals, but it certainly can help you.
Reuben Hannon, the founding partner and chief operating officer, and Jeff Berry, president and CEO, are expecting they'll have around 20 PGA Tour Champions players using equipment with the vertical grooves this year. That is a real accomplishment for a company only in its second year. And I can remember Bob and Janice coming back from the merchandise show saying, hey, I think we found something, Bob. You guys were impressed right off the bat.
Yeah, that was a year ago, and I never dreamed that it would skyrocket to success. More and more people, just like the phone installer that came into Normandy, they're hearing about it. They're wanting to put it in their bag, and why not? Remember, if you want to get fitted for a vertical groove driver or three-wood, Vertical Groove Golf makes it very easy for you. All you have to do is just search for the nearest Club Champion Master Club Fitter near you. They have locations all across the United States. They'll be able to help you decide which loft, which shaft, and grip are right for your game.
All you need to do is go to clubchampiongolf.com. Their website will list all their locations. They do really good work. And certainly, if you're ready to go vertical, simply go to vertgolf.com to customize just for you your new vertical groove club.
Jay, let me ask you a question. Do you have caddies at Normandy Golf Course? Did you ever have a caddy as a youngster? Well, you might have heard about the Evan Scholar program that the Western Golf Association has run for a long time.
When we were at the PGA show, we found a time to chat with Tim Orban from the Western Golf Association, and they've come up with a new caddy program. And when we come back from a short break, we'll hear what the new program they've come up with for the youth to get them involved in the world of golf. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, and heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, TalkSport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or just say to your smart speaker, Alexa, play the Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected. Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to the Grill Room Golf Show, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Don't forget that three wood is available for you to order today at vertgolf.com. Well, one of my favorite organizations in all of golf is the Western Golf Association. Annually, my dad and I host a dinner in St. Louis for their Evans Scholar Program, highlighting all the kids that get a scholarship to the University of Missouri. And I'm so glad that Bob had the chance to catch up with Tim Orban of the Western Golf Association down at the merchandise show to learn about a new caddy development program across the country.
A little tough for me to start this interview because the project is so dear to my heart. I have been a firm believer that youngsters that learn the trade of caddying learn so much more about life than they do about the game of golf. And we're fortunate right now to be talking to the director of an initiative called Carry the Game. His name is Tim Orban. And your mission statement, get more kids to caddy?
That's correct, Bob. Really, our goal at Western Golf has always, we've always been very passionate about youth caddying. And this new initiative, Carry the Game, really the genesis of it is with the help of the World Golf Foundation and Steve Mona, we put together a task force of all the leaders throughout the country that had different roles in the caddy space, if you want to say it that way. And we were all doing our thing, you know, kind of operating independently, and we really knew it was time to collaborate and kind of get everyone working together in unison. Obviously, no one was contentious or anything like that, but we just thought if we streamlined our efforts, we could have a bigger impact. So being a former caddy and an Evan Scholar, golf professional, and manager of caddies and scholarship development for 5 years, I was our representative appointed for the task force for Western Golf and have worked intimately with our task force. And this past summer at the U.S. Open, we at Western Golf decided we're going to spearhead this initiative and take it to the next level and really help it come to fruition. So most folks know us for the Evan Scholars Foundation, our full tuition and caddy scholarships. This Carry the Game initiative is a little broader based for youth caddying, and it's more of an emphasis on converting youth caddies, you know, of all income levels, of, you know, all backgrounds, all academic profiles, converting them into golfers, and lifelong golfers. We know it's a great way to learn the game of golf. It's a great way to on-ramp young people and expose them to golf, help them make a few dollars so they can actually afford golf. And really, we're going to work with the First Tee and Youth on Course, PGA of America, all different folks that are on our task force. And we have some fun and creative programming to help connect kids, get a club in their hand, and keep it there for decades to come. So we're really, really excited.
You know, Tim, let's back up just a little bit, because basically a huge majority, probably an overwhelming majority of people that have played golf have never played having a caddy. And and it's almost like a completely different experience. I mean, one might be golf and bowling. I mean, playing golf with a caddy and without a caddy. So if we can encourage people when caddies are available to try it, I think then they might encourage their young son or young daughter to explore the possibilities of becoming a caddy.
You're right, Bob. And yeah, many of us have not had the experience of taking a caddy in the golf world. I think one of the things about that is, you know, really caddies are meant to amplify the golf experience, and they can do just that. So we're starting to see in some initiatives that we've done at Western Golf and some of our other friends in the caddy world have found creative ways to make sure we're connecting golfers to caddies. So whether it's through caddy academies or subsidized programs, we're starting to see some caddy programs arise at public courses in a more affordable manner. And it's really, there's something just wonderful about, you know, taking a walk or playing your round with a young man or woman next to you. And it's almost disarming in a good way. You know, if you scull that wedge, you tend to kind of take a deep breath and say, okay, let's not take it so serious. But that mentorship, you know, people inherently, golfers are very philanthropic by and large, but also they really enjoy cultivating the youth, that next generation. And so with Carry the Game and with youth caddying, we know the more we can get young people out, the more we can expose golfers to young people and all the joys and benefits of caddying, we know it's going to carry the game forward for that next generation. And that's what we want to do. Golf's a sport. It's meant to be fun. And what better way to have a team and have a young person on your bag and have a conversation and help them learn about life and, you know, help them learn about interpersonal skills and communicating with an adult and learning the value of a dollar and responsibility. But it's really meant as like a stepping stone job. So caddy is a young person, play golf, and then go on to great things. So we want to connect them to scholarships, internships, job opportunities, all that wonderful stuff that we as adults know about. We want to get the young people early and really help them, you know, kind of springboard into life. So we couldn't be more excited. So Carry the Game, I think, has the ability and the scope to do just that.
You know, Tim, I want to talk a little bit about the Western Open. Many people don't realize that at one time that was considered a major in the sport of golf.
Certainly. And what's now at the BMW Championship has been, we've been very fortunate and second oldest running golf tournament on the PGA Tour. And we've been very fortunate over the years to have just unbelievable champions and a very high profile event. And the last decade or so, having been the penultimate event on the PGA Tour, so the top 70 players in the world at the FedEx Cup playoffs right before Eastlake and the Tour Championship, we've been very fortunate, and we're in a great position because, you know, when you're assured the top 70 players on the tour, it makes for some very exciting golf. And either way, we've been lucky. And one of the fun things is, you know, at Western Golf, we're headquartered in Gulf, Illinois, just outside Chicago. But really the last decade since we've partnered with BMW and became a playoff event, we've been in Chicago, the Chicagoland market, and then every other year we'll kind of go to a different market, and it's been really wildly successful. We've been in, you know, going back to 2014, we were out in Denver at Cherry Hills, 2016 at Crooked Stick, and this year in 2018, we're at Aronimink. And in the odd-numbered years, we've been at Conway Farms the last few, and in 2019, we're going to Medina. So last year was Conway, then we'll be Aronimink in Philadelphia, 2019 at Medina, and it's a pretty good menu of golf courses. So I wish I was number 71 in the field, but not quite there yet, Bob.
Well, I tell you, that's incredible, the locations it's going to be going to. I want to conclude this opportunity to speak with you. And once again, I'm talking to Tim Orban. He's director of Carry the Game. I am a strong supporter in the belief that introducing a young boy or young girl to the sport of golf and ideally now using the venue of caddying, you're doing them a favor that's going to last them a lifetime. I mean, there's very few things you can do for a youngster that's going to impact their entire life. But the sport of golf has that potential.
It does, and that's why we're so passionate about it. And we know the impact it has. And those of us who caddied as young people, the older you get, you look back at some pivotal moments. And, you know, it's really such a great thing, and we want to make sure we don't lose any young people or have them miss out on this opportunity for a variety of reasons. So we want to continue to grow the number of caddies nationwide, connect young people to caddying early, get them involved, and let them have some fun. Get on the golf course, stay there, and have a great time.
Is there a website where people can get more information about our discussion?
Yes, there is. It's actually at carrythegame.org. And being a new initiative, we just launched yesterday, so we've really kind of gone public with it, which we couldn't be more thrilled. So currently, we kind of have it links to our website where kids can find a caddy locator. So wherever you live in the country, you can find local clubs near you and get the address, the contact info, and those types of things. And they're also able to contact us. We have some training materials available. And really, we're trying to make it a one-stop shop where young people can go from pretty green, I don't know anything about caddying, to where do I go, how do I do it, and off you go. So that's kind of our goal. So we're happy to help.
Well, you brought a smile on my face and warming in my heart, because I'm a huge proponent of all the benefits that one can achieve by caddying. Tim Orman, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Bob, and keep up the great work.
Bob, you know, you asked me earlier if we had caddies at Normandy. Unfortunately, we're in a situation as a public golf course that it doesn't really make sense, and there's some insurance issues that bug me. I'd love to have caddies. I used to caddy on Saturday mornings for my dad or for some older guys. It's a great way to learn the game, and it teaches you so much. And I just really appreciate what the Western Golf Association does for these youngsters, because it encourages them to get in the game. I know some guys that were caddies that ended up working for the guy they caddied for and being lifelong friends. It's a great way to be involved in golf.
Yeah, and for more information, all you have to do is go to carrythegame.org.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.